Good morning, everybody. Boker Tov. We're going to be learning Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer. We're now up to Siman Dalet, well into Siman Dalet. Two-thirds of the way through Siman Dalet, we're going to be looking at one very quick Sif, and then we'll spend some more time on a different one. And the one that we're going to do first is Sif Chaf Hei. It's a very short, but it's a very cute cheshbon. The mental gymnastics will be very brief, but very exciting. It's like jumping on a trampoline. It's a lot of fun, really quick, a lot of fun. You don't need much skill for it, but it's a really geschmack sif. Look, we're not going to do any background. We're just going to have to figure out the case and see why the case works as the Shulchan Aruch presents itself. So let me just mention outside, before we see it inside, what the case is going to be. One second, just adjusting my screens. Okay, so let's say you have a Yavama. So a Yavama, of course, her husband died without any children, and she is Zakuka Liyubim. Now, if she doesn't have any children, of course, she has to get Yubim, and in that case, she'll be allowed to marry her brother-in-law, the Yavam. If she would have children with her husband, then it would be an Isser Kares for her to marry her brother-in-law, right? The only reason why you're allowed to marry your brother-in-law is for Yibum, because you don't have children. But absent, you know, the Yibum Heter, the mitzvah of Yibum, you wouldn't be able to have to live with your brother-in-law, to marry your brother-in-law, even after your husband would die. That's, of course, Usser. There's no Heter, if not for a case of Yibum. So listen to this case. A husband and wife are married for a short amount of time, a year, 2 years, 3 years, and tragically, he dies. Car accident, who knows what, whatever it was, he dies. And they don't have children. So she is going to get Yibum. Now, normally, when one marriage is finished, the proper thing to do is to wait 3 months for Havchana to make sure that she's not pregnant from the first husband. And this is true, you know, after any kind of ending of a marriage, when a woman gets a get, the Beis Din tells her, here's your get, you can get married 90 days from today. If a woman's husband dies, she should wait 3 months. If a woman husband died and she has to get Yibum, you should wait 3 months to make sure that to make sure that if she'll become pregnant from this new husband, we'll know whether it's from the first husband or from the second husband. And you need a 3 month waiting period to make sure that you could discern or differentiate whether it's from the first husband or the second husband. This is a story, and listen to it, it's a very cute case where, I mean, it's not cute because her husband died and they were childless, but other than that, it's a cute case. She's a Yavama, no children, her husband died, and she gets Yibumed by her brother-in-law 3 weeks later, a few weeks later. She doesn't wait 3 months. Now let's think for a second. A few months later, she becomes pregnant. We see that she's pregnant. And she has a baby a little while later, and we don't know whose baby it is. Is it the baby of her original husband, or is it the baby of the Yavam? Let's think out what the two possibilities would yield. If it's a baby of the first husband, then what did she do with this Yavam, who's not really Yavam? She really had a child. She's not a Yavama. If this baby is a baby of the first husband, then she's not a Yavama. There's no need for a Yibum. The first husband had a child, and now that she's living with her brother-in-law, that's called Eshesach. That's called Kares, right? That's a big problem. On the other hand, if really the baby is the second husband's, so that means she did need Yibum. If she did need Yibum, then she's allowed to be married to the second guy. So the question that we're going to deal with, and again, it's an obvious halacha, is obvious if you just do the math that we sort of just did, what would be the status of this child? Meaning, if in a normal case, if a woman would live with her brother-in-law, that child would be a mamzer. Now, she lives with her brother-in-law, we're not sure if there should be Yibum or not. Therefore, shouldn't this be a suffik mamzer? Look at what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Shulchan Aruch, again, it's just that you don't have to know any information. It's just a mathematical calculation. Yavama shalosh, not really mathematical, but logical calculation. Yavama shalosha sa'achar baila shalosha chadashim. She didn't wait the appropriate 3 months of havchana. V'nisyabma, she got Yibum right away. V'yalda, and she had a baby. Safik ben tesla rishon or ben zayin acharon. Havlad kosher. Says Rashi, why is the baby kosher? Why isn't there a concern that this is a woman who didn't need Yibum and she's living with her brother-in-law? Says Rashi, Mimanavshach. What does he mean? He means there are two possibilities. If the baby is really the child of the first husband, then guess what? What did she do? She did Gilei Arayis. She lived with her brother-in-law, Shalom B'Makom Mitzvah. She's a terrible person. But the baby is not the product of that second union with the Yavam. The baby is the product of her first real husband, and he's fine. And therefore, the baby's not a mamzer, because, yes, she did an Issur Kares with a new man, but the baby was conceived before that. What's the other possibility? The other possibility is that the second man, the Yavam, is the father of the baby. Well, that means that the first man didn't have any children. If the first man didn't have any children, then it must be that there's a chiyuv of Yibum. And then there was a heter for her to live with this brother-in-law, the Yavam. And therefore, under either way, however you flip the coin, this child, she violated a suffolk eshesach. So she's not a great girl. But the child is not going to be a mamzer. Because he's either, if he's the first one's child, then he was born before she did something wrong. If he's the second one, if this child is the child of the second man, then that means the first husband didn't have any children, and a Yibum was called for. And therefore she was allowed, this mother was allowed to live with the Yavam. And therefore the child is mutter, is kasher, is not going to be mamzer, mimanafshach. Beautiful cheshbon that the Shulchan Aruch just calculates for us. Ah, but let's take this story a step further. Let's say this woman didn't wait 3 months, and she got pregnant. And we don't know if there was supposed to be Yibum or there wasn't supposed to be Yibum. This child, we just said, is kosher because Mimanavshach, if it's from the first husband, then he was born to a husband and a wife. If it's for the second husband, that means the first husband didn't have children and it was a Yibum. But what happens if after this child is born, she has another child? V'macharkach chazar uba aleha yavam v'nisabra v'yalda. If after this first child was born, the yavam, this second husband, the yavam, lives with her and they have another child, that child is a suffolk mamzer. Why? Because we don't know. This second child is definitely from the second husband. There's no possibility he's from the first husband. He's definitely from the Yavam, the second husband. Is this Yavam allowed to marry this Yavama? We don't know if there's a Chiyuv Yibum in this case. We don't know if there are children from the first husband or not. And therefore, it's a case of a woman who is marrying her brother-in-law. And it's a question if it was because there's a heter of Yibum or there's no heter of Yibum, because we don't know if the first husband had any children or not. And therefore, this child from the second child from this marriage will be a mamzer. So we just created a case where you have the Yavam living with this Yavama, or we don't know if he's a Yavam and she's a Yavama. It's a suffolk Yibum case. The first child that's born is going to be kosher legamrei. The second child that's born will be a suffolk mamzer. Because the first child that's born, there's a suffolk, he might have been from the first husband. If he's from the first husband, then he's okay. If he's the second husband, that means the first husband didn't have children, and there is a chi of Yibam. But the second child that's born, after this first child is born, the second child that's born is definitely from this second man, and this second man, there's a question if he was allowed to be with her at all, or if he's her a brother-in-law. If it's a case of a woman just living with her brother-in-law, and there's a suffolk if there's a chi of if there's a het of the Eish HaSach in this case. And therefore the second child will be a suffolk mamzer. That is a very cute case. If you have the logic, that's great. If not, we're going to move on to the next sif. Okay. I think we would tell her she has to move out. You're asking a great question. Would we tell her that she has to leave? I think you're right. I think we would tell her she has to leave. Yeah. Not because of the possibility she's going to have a mom, it's the possibility that she's living with a man that's her brother-in-law. Yeah, she might be, it's a suffolk issur d'oraisa. That's great, suffolk issur kares. We would tell her to leave this marriage, correct? Excellent question. Now that we have genetic testing, you're probably right. You're probably right. Halacha probably would recognize the genetic testing, and we could determine if it's from the first husband, then we know that there's no Yibam here. We know that the kid is from the first husband, A. B, we know that there's no mitzvah Yibam, and that's going to tell us that this marriage, that this woman is married to the living brother-in-law, is totally be'isser. On the other hand, if the genetic testing indicates that the father is the second husband, the Yavam's genes, that means the first husband didn't have any children, and therefore this second marriage is beheter, and is going to be a real case of Yibam with the heter of the Eish HaSach, and that would probably be permitted. Yes, that's a fascinating point, that nowadays, through genetic testing, we might be able to permit this woman to stay married. That's correct. Right, so you're dealing with more of a political question. I'll tell you what I mean. I think we've mentioned this in the past. The poskim do not want to use genetic testing except to be matir agunas. Right, so that's more of a policy question than a halachic question. Meaning we recognize the halachic validity of genetic testing. And therefore, if we had to be matir aguna based on DNA, like after the World Trade Center situation where we had to use DNA to be matir agunas, we're willing to do so. But if there are questions of, are you my brother? Right. I think we pointed out, like, let's say I get a Yerusha, and I don't want to split my Yerusha with this guy who claims to be my brother. So I get up in bed and I say, he's not really my brother. He's from a different parent. So I don't want to give him my Yerusha. It's a great way for me to make a few $1,000,000, right? I just bump my brother off. So what you're going to be doing is, if we follow genetic testing, you're going to end up all of a sudden opening up Pandora's boxes to discover all of a sudden there are going to be a bunch of people we thought were really, siblings and children, and we find out that maybe they're mamzerim, maybe they're not really related, and the Chachamim don't want to get into that. So therefore, in general, from a practical policy perspective, they will not use genetic testing, but not because Halacha doesn't accept it, but just because it could only open up, again, other than being matir agunas, it just opens up Pandora's box to difficult family situations. So Eliyahu HaNavi might use genetic testing, or Eliyahu HaNavi might just look at you really, really hard, and he'll see straight through you, and he'll tell you which shevet we're from. I think Eliyahu HaNavi will be even more accurate than genetic testing. Yeah, you're saying, would we rely on genetic testing to be matir safek mamzer? You're saying, we already assume he might be a mamzer, and this is only going to help the situation. Maybe in such a case, a bezdin, each bezdin will make its own decision, but in such a case, maybe a bezdin will be willing to rely on genetic testing, because we already are assuming mamzer. So you can only help the situation? Maybe we would rely on genetic testing in such a case. Yeah, until now he was a Suffolk Mamzer. Now you're confirming that he's a Vaday Mamzer. On the other hand, remember, life as a Suffolk Mamzer is pretty miserable. Life as a Suffolk Mamzer means you can't marry a regular girl, and you might, there's a question if you can marry a real Mamzer. That's what we talked about previous week. Halach l'maisa, you're not even able to marry a Mamzeres, because you're a Suffolk, she's a Vaday. So you can't ever marry a Suffolk, because maybe you are, she's not. She is, he, you are. So a Suffolk Mamzer is the worst thing a person could be. They could only marry a Ger, basically. They can't marry another Suffolk Mamzer. They can't marry a real Mamzer. They can't marry a Yisrael. So they could only marry a Ger. That's really tough. Maybe it would be Mekel to use genetic testing in such a case. I don't know. I have to see what the poskim would say. I don't know the answer. But that's a... Do we do Yibam? We do Chalitza. The Sfardim do Yibam. The Sfardim do Yibam. In terms of polygamy, I'm not, that's a different question, but the Sfardim do Yibam. Okay. That was Se'if Chafhei. We're now going to go to the next Se'if, which is a little bit of a different question. The question at hand is basically one point. You have a single woman, and she claims, and she's pregnant, and she claims that so-and-so is the father. Now, when she claims that so-and-so is the father, we have a number of questions. If so-and-so was a mamzer, if so-and-so is has a certain psul, is this kid going to have that psul this man she assumes, she claims is the father? Is she believed to make her son the child of this man by claiming so-and-so is the father? Let's say she wants, let's say she says, oh, I'm pregnant, right? Guess who the father is? The father's last name is his Rothschild. You know, is this kid now going to inherit, you know, the billions of dollars from the Rothschild Foundation? Or is he now going to be, get the yichas? Let's say she wants this kid to be a Kohen. She says, I became pregnant. You want to know who the father is? Mr. Cohn. Is this kid going to be a Kohen? I became pregnant. The father's name is Mr. Levi. Is this kid going to be a Levi? So what is the status of a pregnant or a single girl who becomes pregnant? Is she believed to identify the identity of whoever is the father of her baby? And does it make a difference what this random guy says, yes, I am, or no, I am not? Does that make a difference? I remember, she could have been anywhere over the past, 9 months ago. She could have been in, 10 different guys' houses over the course of 10 different nights. So what is the status of this Shiloh? So let's start with the Mishnah. Excellent question. If he says that I am the father of this baby, that's making himself into a Rasha. What's the Rasha? The Rasha is, I lived with a Pnuya. If he's admitting that he violated the Isser of, as the Rambam assumes, that a Pnuya, a Pani Habala Pnuya is an Isser of Kadesh, right? That's a Shita of the Rambam. So according to the Rambam, he's admitting that he violated the Isser of Loya Kadesh. I don't know the answer to your question, Doctor. We will see something else. We will raise your question. I thought you were going to go in a different direction because I saw the post and that we'll see raise the question. Let's say she says, I lived with this guy, and he's a mamzer, and therefore my child is a mamzer. Remember, if a single girl becomes pregnant, the kid is totally fine. The kid's great. Wonderful kid, perfect yichus. But what happens if she says, I became pregnant, I was going out with a guy, and he's a mamzer. Will we believe her? Because now, what is she doing? She's admitting that she lived with somebody for whom it's asa daraisa for her to live with a mamzer. She's a bas Yisrael. So you're saying maybe we'd believe her if she said, my child is born to a nice guy down the block. But if she said, my child is born to a mamzer, then we wouldn't believe her because then she's saying that she lived with a mamzer with the Rizanesa Daraisa, then she would be Mesim Asma Rasha, so we can't believe her in that case. So it's a one-way, street. We could only believe her if she says good things about her kid. If she says bad things about her kid, then we won't believe her. So it's sort of a funny thing to believe her, because you could only be believed if you say good, but if you say bad, we don't believe you. Okay, so let's see the sugya, and we'll begin the sugya now. Mishnah Kedushin. Samach Tes Amud Aleph. There are 10 statuses in Klal Yisrael. In the sugya of Yuchsin, there are 10 possible statuses a person could have. Kohanei. Asar Yuchsin, the first Mishnah in the last parak of Kedushin. Asar Yuchsin Olam Yivavel, Kohanei, Levi, Yisraeli, Chalalei, a Chalal, right? A Ger, Charure, that means an Eved that was Meshuchar, a Mamzer, a Nasin, a Shtuki, and an Asufi. I don't know, I counted only 9, it should be 10. Fine. So what are the halachas of these various sets, subsets of the population? So Kohen, Levi, Yisraeli, Mutar, Lavazer, Bezer, right? A Kohen, Kamari, Levi, Kamari, Yisrael, all those are fine. Now, if you remove the Kohanim from the equation, Then you have the Levim and Yisraelim and Chalalim and Gerim and Haruri. Chalalim are like the Kohanim who got messed up from their Kohuna. Gerim are Gerim. Avodah or Meshuchar have a regular din of Gerim. So a Yisrael can marry those people. A Bas Yisrael can marry those people. A Kohen can't marry a Chalal. A Kohen can't marry a Ger, a Gioris. A Kohen can't marry a Shivcha that was Meshuchareres. But all these people, Levi, Yisrael, Chalali, Geri, and Harui, are all Matar, Lava, Zeb, Zeb. Okay. And now we're going to get to the final group of all the people that a regular Jew can't marry, but they are allowed to intermarry within themselves. And what are those categories? Geri, the Haruri again, and Evan Meshuchar is a Haruri, so they're like a din of a Ger, and a Mamzer, they could marry each other, and a Nasin, we're not going to get into who that is, Shtuki v'Asufi, we'll talk about those maybe a little later. They are all Mutarim Lavo Zebeze. What are these Shtuki v'Asufis? So Rashi explains, Shtuki v'Asufi are Safek Mamzerim Haim. We'll see exactly what they are, what the difference between them are. We'll start with that. A Sufi is just a kid who's abandoned, you know, on the hospital, a kid who's brought to the ER and dropped on the floor on the doorstep outside the hospital, and you know, with a note, please take care of my baby. Or this happened, Ruchaim Brisk. That's what happened when there would be women who would become pregnant without being married in Brisk. Reb Chaim Brisk, who was a tremendous Baal Chesed, was known that he took care of these kids. There would be little babies dropped on his doorstep saying, I became pregnant, I didn't want anyone to know, I'm not married, and please take care of my baby. And Reb Chaim Brisk would raise these children. That's an Asufi. So Asufi, we don't know who the father is. The kid might be is a Safik Mamzer. Okay, Shtuki we're going to speak about shortly. Shtuki, by the way, the Asufi means he's gathered up from the Shuk. He's just gathered, you know, he's just found on the doorstep. A foundling, that's what we call it in English? A foundling, okay. Yeah? Okay, it's responsibility for the community. Shtuki v'asufi safik mamzerim heim. Umutar l'hisari b'mamzerim. Interestingly enough, since you have a din of a Safik Mamzer, on a Doraisa level, what's the Safik Mamzer allowed to do? He's on a Midoraisa, Midarban, I don't think we allow this, but on a Doraisa level, a Safik Mamzer is allowed to marry a Mamzer. Why? Because we learn from a Pasuk, Bikahal Vadai Hudulo Yavo, Bikahal Safik Yavo. A Mamzer is allowed to marry a Safik Mamzer on a Doraisa level. That's what the Mishnah paskens. What is a shtuki? We said a shtuki is a Safik Mamzer who's allowed to marry a Ger, an Evan Meshuchrar, another Safik Mamzer, a real Mamzer. What's a shtuki? A shtuki is the case that we mentioned a moment ago. Ve'eluheim shtuki, says the Mishnah, kol shu makiris imo ve'eno makiris aviv. We don't know who the father is. There's a girl, she went to a bar, she drank, somebody took her home, she doesn't know who, she finds out she's pregnant a few weeks later, she was drunk, she doesn't know what happened to her. She doesn't know who the father is, or we don't know who the father is. What's the name Shtuki? Rashi explains. He doesn't know who his father is, meaning, v'eino makiris aviv, ukshekore ploni abba, when he says, hey dad, what does the mother do? The mother, you know, shuts him up, the mother silences him. Imo mishatakto is mishatek him, silences him. Be quiet. Don't call him. You don't. It's not. He's not your father. Maybe he's not your father. There's a joke that I have to be very careful about. There's a certain community, a certain population, which will remain nameless for political correctness. And the joke is something like, "What's the most confusing day in this neighborhood or this sub community?" And they say Father's Day. That's the most confusing day in that subpopulation. Because, you know, it's a population where, you know, plenty of women are pregnant, but they're not really sure who the fathers are. So that's shtuki. We know who the mother is. The mother gave birth. But who's the dad? It could be anybody. Okay. So this person, where even though we know the mother, and the mother is a Bas Yisrael, But the father could be anybody, and he's therefore might be a mamzer. So this kid is a suffix mamzer. Sort of funny, like, why are you assuming he's a suffix mamzer? Why don't you follow Rov? Rov Yisraelim are not mamzerim. If there'd be a girl in any given from neighborhood who becomes pregnant, who's not married, becomes pregnant, so we're going to assume that... Why would you even say that the rove of men that go with single women are mamzerim? Rove of the people in the bars who impregnate women are mamzerim? Why would you assume that they're mamzerim? They're not upstanding citizens. They're not doing that's right. They might not be so frum, but that doesn't make... You could be not frum and not be a mamzer. Mamzer has nothing to do with your frumkeit. Mamzer happens to be that your mother... didn't get a get, or your mother was involved with incest. That's all mamzer. Most people are not mamzer. Why are we assuming that this kid is a suffix mamzer? Why don't we just follow Rove and make... why don't we follow Rove and say that... case of Kavu. Okay, so I won't go into that now. That could be. Okay, continues the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, what is this Asufi who also is considered a suffix mamzer? This is what we spoke about earlier. We can neither identify the mother nor the father. We have no idea who the parents of this kid are. He was just dropped on the doorstep of the rabbi of the hospital of the church, whatever it is, and we don't know who the kid is. So he's an asufi, and we don't even know if he's Jewish. Right? That's another question. But certainly he'll have a status of a suffix mamzer. Now, one last line, and that's Abba Shaul. And Abba Shaul is going to be important because we're going to paskin like him. And he makes an adjustment to the Mishnah, an addendum. Abba Shaul hayakori the shtuki biduki. We'll see what that means in just a minute, that he's saying that with the shtuki that we're speaking of, when there's this case of a suffix mamzer, of a shtuki, who we don't know who the father is, that's a biduki. We'll see what that means right now. So the Gemara a few blot later on Kiddushin Ayin Dalet says, Abba Shaul had this line that says, a shtuki is a biduki. What's a biduki? What are you saying that a shtuki is a biduki? Remember, shtuki is somebody whom we know the mother, we don't know the father. Girl's pregnant, we don't know who the father is. So kids are suffix mamzer. My biduki. E Lema says the Gemara Shabot Kines Imo Veomeres Lekasher Nivalti. If a woman would say, right, a woman's pregnant, single girl is pregnant, and she says, "Look at the father of this of my child. He's a kosher. He's a regular Jewish guy. Regular Jewish guy. He's not a mamzer. Ne'emenes." So, what we just saw is that when we don't know the father of a baby, a woman comes to us, she's pregnant, a single girl comes and she's pregnant, we don't know the father. Well, if we don't know who the father is, then we'll consider the kid a suffix mamzer. But if she says, if we check and investigate, and she says, yeah, I know the guy, not a mamzer, he's a good, he's a good Jewish boy, whatever, he's a little bit not so frum, but he has normal yichas, he's not a mamzer, they will be believed. She will be believed. And the kid will not be even a suffix mamzer. Okay. That's only because she identified the husband, that she knows that the husband, that the father of this child is not a mamzer. If she doesn't know, she says, I went to a bar, Jewish bar, everyone was Jewish, and, I don't know what happened to me, I just got drunk, and, I found myself pregnant a few weeks later, then the kid will be a suffix mamzer. But if she knows she was going out with a guy, and she became pregnant, then she knows that he's not a mamzer, then the kid will be fine. Yeah, what's your question? I don't know the answer, but the Lashon of the Mishnah just says, L'kasha Nivalti. I don't know if she has to say, it was Yankel so-and-so from, three blocks away. You all know the family, and you all know that he's not a mamzer. It doesn't sound like that. It sounds like she just has to say, I know the guy, and I can identify him, and I know he's not a mamzer. I don't know if she has to share the identity with a basin necessarily, but I don't know. It's a good question. maybe the Nosei Kelim on the Gemara, or those who I haven't seen on the Shulchan Aruch will specify if you have to identify the person who he is, so Bezin could ascertain that he's not a Mamzer, or is it just enough for her to tell us, I know that he's not a Mamzer, but I don't want to divulge his identity. Maybe she's scared to divulge his identity. He'll kill her. Okay. Now that was the Gemara. Let's see how this is paskened in the Rambam. Two halachas of the Rambam. And we're going to try to figure out why the Rambam says what he says based on the Magen Mishnah, which we'll see afterwards. So comes the Rambam, passes these halachas a little bit more specifically than we saw in the Gemara, in the Mishnah and Gemara. So comes the Rambam, Hilchos Yisurim, Bia Perek Tezvav. Penuya shenis arba miznus. You have a single girl who's pregnant. And yes, it does happen in our community. It does happen, unfortunately, a lot less than other communities, but a single girl becomes pregnant. Amrula, ma'u ha'uber hazeh, o ha'yilud hazeh. What's this? Anyone know what the double lashon of the Rambam is? What this phrase means? Ma'u ha'uber hazeh, o ha'yilud hazeh? Right. If they find that she's pregnant, they say, oh, what kind of baby are you pregnant with? Or, after she gives birth, you gave birth. What kind of son or daughter do you have? So, let's listen to her. Im Amra ben Kasherhu, uli Yisrael Nivalti. She's saying two things. This kid is kosher, he's not from a mamzer, and the father is Jewish. Harizu ne'emenes, she'll be fully believed, va ben kosher, and we will assume that this is a wonderful little Jewish boy. We'll send him to yeshiva. Even if, Chiddush, the Rambam is going to add, afal pisha rov ha'ir shezinsa ba psulim. Even if she lives in a city full of mamzerim, and if you go to the bars are full of mamzerim. She says, and she confirms, that the one that she was spent the night with was a kasher, will believe her. Meaning, if she wouldn't have said anything, maybe we would assume we'd follow Rov and maybe he'd be a mamzer, or a suffering mamzer. But since she identifies the father of the baby as being a kosher Yisrael, we will listen to her identify this child, even if the Rov Ha'ir is going to be psulim. That's halacha number Yud Aleph. What? Why do we believe her? I think I understand your question, because that's what... It's funny that she has a cheskes kashas, because she's not exactly the most upstanding citizen. I'm saying she has a reisa, meaning she has a questionable belief, she's not the frumest. That doesn't mean she's a liar. Right. So she might not be the most upstanding citizen. She might not be the candidate for our next, Tznius of the Year award. But that doesn't mean she's a liar. So will she still have a cheskes kashrus even though she was involved with these activities? I don't know. Okay, let's move on. Continues the Rambam. What happens if this woman gives birth and dies at childbirth? So we don't know who she became pregnant with. She never told us. Or the woman's not around. We know who the woman is. Again, we know the mother. It's not like a baby was dropped on the steps of the shul or the church or the hospital or the rabbi's house. We know who the mother is. We know definitely who the mother is. And Rachmana Litzlan, she died at childbirth. Or, after she had this very traumatic experience of giving birth to, as a single girl giving birth, She went crazy and she talks nonsense now. We can't ask her who the husband is. Vim lo nivdaka imo atcha mesa atcha sahaisa chireshes o ilemes o shota. I told you last week there was a very terrible case in the news very recently of in the frum world of a girl with Down syndrome who was found to become pregnant. Was somebody took advantage of her. So she might not be able to reliably tell us who impregnated her. So then, what are we going to, how are we going to look at the child, this baby? We know the mother's not a mamzeres. The father could be anybody, and she's not able to communicate to us his identity. Or what about the following? What has she says? Yes, I became pregnant to John Mamzer. She'amra leploni ha-mamzer devalti. O leploni ha-nasin. Listen to this. She says, I became pregnant to John Mamzer. And guess what? We go to John Mamzer and says, did you impregnate a woman, you know, a few months ago, 9 months ago, or whenever it was? And he says, oh yeah, yes I did. I feel also ploni moda shehu mimenu. They're going out. They were going out together for a little while. They were going out for a few months. And John the Mamzer and this Jewish girl, single girl, and she becomes pregnant. She says it's from John the Mamzer. John the Mamzer says, yes, it's from me. Guess what, Rabosei? You think, hey, both parties acknowledge, both parties admit, it's definitely a Mamzer Vade, right? Wrong. Hare ze paskins, the Rambam, Suffolk Mamzer. Why? She said it's from John the Mamzer, and John the Mamzer said it's from me. Why is this kid only a Suffolk Mamzer? Explains the Rambam the following reason. Because Kishem Shizinsa imze Shahodela Kachzinsa im acher. For the same price, just like if you have a girl who hangs out with this guy, who's to say she's not hanging out with other guys? And does the guy know? The guy has no clue. The guy has no clue who his girlfriend was with, you know, the night before he was with her or the night after he was with her. The boyfriend doesn't know. So he has no clue. So what he says is meaningless. And she, we should believe her that this is the father? The same way this single girl was with this guy on one night, and we'll believe her that they were together on a certain night, but she could have been with anybody else the night before or the night after. So therefore, there's a possibility that John the Mamzer is indeed the father, but it's not certain. Kashem shezinsa imze shehodala, kach zinsa imacher. And this, says Ram, is the case of Shtuki. What's the case of Shtuki? We know the father, and we know the mother, we can identify the mother. Shemakir's imo, ve'eno makir's aviv vadai. Even though she identified the father as being a mamzer, we don't believe her entirely. We believe her only as much to make her a suffolk. So let's put everything together now. A single girl is pregnant, and she identifies the father as being a kosher guy. We're going to listen to him. We're going to listen to her. And the kid will be kosher. So kosher that even if it's a city of Rov Psulim, of Rov Mamzerim, we'll still assume that the baby's kosher. If she identifies him in a positive light. But if she identifies him as a mamzer, you'd think, oh, definitely the kid's a mamzer now, right? No, the kid's only a Suffolk mamzer. Or, if we don't know at all who the father is, because she's not able to answer the question, she herself is mentally incapacitated, she herself died at childbirth, or she herself doesn't remember who the father is. We know the mom, but we don't know the father. In all these cases, or even if she identifies the father as a mamzer and the father, and John the mamzer says, yes, I am the father. In all those cases, we'll say, we don't know what the real status of the child is. Maybe there was somebody, some other man who was the father, just like she was with this John the mamzer. One night she was with somebody else, possibly another night, and therefore the kid will be a Suffolk mamzer. So that's the fascinating psak of this Rambam. The question arises, though, why does Ram seem to have a double standard? How come when she identifies the father as a kosher, we believe him entirely? But when she identifies the father as a mamzer, we say, oh, maybe you're right. Maybe we should believe you, the kid. You know, maybe you were somebody else. Why? You know, when she says that my son, I was with a good guy. I was with a guy. I was going with a guy. He's a kosher. We'll believe her that the kid's a kosher. Why don't we say, oh, just like you were with this guy who's a kosher, maybe you were with somebody else who is a mamzer, especially if you live in a neighborhood where there are a lot of mamzerim. Why don't we say that? Why do we have this double standard? How come when she identifies her son as being a kosher and the boel being a kosher, we'll listen to her vadai? But when she identifies him as being a mamzer, why don't you believe her? let her believe her that the kid's a Vade Mamzer. She says, the father of this child that I'm bearing is a Vade Mamzer. My kid is a Vade Mamzer. We say, we don't believe you. We're going to treat the kid as a Safik Mamzer. She said, but you believed me 100% when I told you last time around that my kid was a Vade Kusher. We believed you 100%. It wasn't even a Safik. We didn't even have any questions. We didn't say the kid will be a Safik. How come now that I'm saying he's a Vade Mamzer, the Bo is a Vade Mamzer, you're not fully believing me? Either we believe the woman or we don't believe the woman. How come to be Machshir the child, we believe the woman entirely, but to pass the child, we leave it vague, we leave it ambiguous. We consider the child to be only a Safik. Why is there a double standard? Could anyone think of a teretz for this? I don't want to call it a steer in the Rambam, because one Rambam after the other, like he's telling us this, why is there two separate halachas? That when it comes to saying that your husband, that the boel is a mamzer vadai, nah, we don't believe you. To say the boel is kosher, we'll believe you 100%. Why is it a one-way street? If you believe a woman, identify the husband, so believe bein le mamzer or not mamzer. If you don't believe her, then don't believe her in both cases, or make it a suffering in both cases. Yasi? You say we're more quick to make mamzerim? We're not so quick to make mamzerim. But to the contrary, we're making, she's, but it's not better to be a suffix mamzer. Well, I don't hear that so much because it's not like you're, you said that you're with a mamzer, we're not going to believe you. No, we believe her enough to make the kid a suffix mamzer, which is the worst situation. And that's what we're going to put him into. That's the status we're going to give this poor kid. She says my husband's a mamzer, the boel is a mamzer vade, my kid's a mamzer vade. At least he can marry other mamzerim. And what are we going to say? We don't really believe you, that you're with a mamzer vade, and therefore we're going to consider your child. We'll have to be choshish. Maybe he's a suffering mamzer, but we won't fully believe you. That's even worse. Any other suggestions, Dr. Marin? You have any chilek for me? Oh, if she says, I like what you're thinking. I like the way you're thinking, Mr. Saad. So if she says, I was with a mamzer, you're saying we should question her. Why? Because she's saying she did an isser, right? That's what Mr. Saad is saying. If she says, I was with a good guy, okay, believe her. But if she says, I was with a vade mamzer, then she's saying I did an avera. Maybe we shouldn't believe her. Maybe we shouldn't believe her. Oh, very good. You hear what Dr. Marin said, Mr. San? According to the Rambam, we're learning the Rambam right now, the very fact that she's saying, I'm a Pnuya and I came, you know, I'm a Pnuya and I was novellous. So either way, she's incriminating herself. She's Mesim Atzma Rasha, either way. No, the Rambam's not positive like the Rambam. Okay, let's see how the Magen Mishnah explains this interesting bifurcation that the Rambam just set forth. Again, the question is, how come when she says the Boel is a kosher Yisrael, we'll believe her 100%. Yeah, if you say he was kosher, we believe you, and your child will be entirely kosher. But when she says my Boel is a mamzer, then we'll say, maybe he was, but maybe he wasn't. Maybe there's some other guy who's the father. We'll consider your child to be a suffix. How come we either should believe both or not believe both? What's the difference? Let's learn the Magen Mishnah. So what Dr. Marin just said is that even in the first case, she doesn't have a cheskes kashas, because according to the Rambam, whom we're learning right now, she's in violation of Kadesha. When she says that I was with so-and-so, Dr. Marin, when we have a single girl who's pregnant, what incriminates her? The fact that she says I was nivellas to somebody? Right, the mitzvahs of her being pregnant, so she's not being mesim atzma rasha. Her words are absolutely meaningless to Mesim Atzma Rasha. The fact that she's pregnant, it makes her a Rasha. Oh, so Beirish is saying that if she says, I was with a... So in terms of her being pregnant, we know she was violated Kadesha. That's a given. But now, in terms of who she was with, when she was with a when she was with a by saying that she's been with a mamzer, we don't want to believe her fully, because she can't be meis mas rosh to say she lived with a mamzer, but to say she lived with a, because that's a second iser that she would be, it's the first iser that she's incriminating herself of. But if she says I was with a good, you know, good, nice, clean Jewish boy, clean cut kid, then there's no, she's not incriminating herself of anything. So that, so you're saying she doesn't have a cheskes ne'emanus. But so then how come the Rambam says that she's believed to be machshir the bivlad? If she says that the baby is a kasher Yisrael, im amra ben kasher hu, Yisrael avati, her is a ne'emanus va ben kasher. How could she be ne'emanus if she's a bala saveira? What do you mean her cheskes kashrus? No, she didn't. I mean, she's a Bala Saveira, right? We agree she's a Bala Saveira, according to the Rambam. We're in the Rambam right now. So she's a single girl who's pregnant. So there's at least some affair that she did. Is she kasher le... Does she have the cheskes kashrus? I don't know, she's a Bala Saveira. So you're saying even if she's a Bala Saveira, and she violated Kadesha, because she's pregnant as a single girl... But you're saying we should still believe her legabe mamzeris. She never has any history of lying as far as mamzeris is concerned. We should believe her there. So how come, but if she says that I was with a mamzer, no, you can't do a hadas baldin that affects somebody else. She can't do a hadas baldin and thereby incriminate somebody else, meaning her child, then we won't believe her. We won't believe you incriminate yourself if there's a byproduct that affects some innocent neighbor. What's that, Chazen? Correct. That's the Svara, right. What were you saying, Mr. Bergman? Whether you're married to him or you're not married to him, be it with a mamzer is an issa d'oraisa. No? Does it have to do with marriage? I thought it's a bia asura. I don't think it has to be in the context of marriage. That's also going to be true. Yeah, it's a separate point. But I don't think the Isser of Mamzer is only in the context of marriage. If you marry a Mamzer, I think it's equally problematic to be Baal a Mamzer. Okay, so let's see. Right, I hear that. So, but according to you, then why isn't she believed? You're right, so therefore we should believe her. She did an Aveira, okay, people do Aveiras, we all do Aveiras, some people say Lashon Hara, some single girls become pregnant, she did an Aveira. But believe her that the boy's a kosher, we'll believe her. So how come when she says that the boy's a mamzer, we don't believe her? So then we should not believe her at all, and therefore the son should be kosher. Why do we say the son is a suffolk mamzer? She's right, she damaged him more, but we listened to her enough to damage him even more. But she says she was with a mamzer. We should say, I don't believe you. Let's assume he was with a Yisrael, a kosher Yisrael. Why are we believing her enough to make the kid a Suffolk Mamzer, which is even worse than being a Mamzer? So we're believing her like a little bit, but not fully. Okay, let's see how the Magen Mishnah deals with this double din in the Rambam. So first he gives us a little background. What's a shtuk? What we're learning now is a sugya called shtuki. Hashtuki, mevur sham begmara, shusafik mamzer. Okay, the case that we're dealing with is a shtuki where we don't know who the father is. That's called a shtuki, that's a safik mamzer. V'chein amrim b'yushalmi perakama, yesh shtuki b'sho sekes, oba mida beres v'omeres en yodas. She either doesn't speak, or she says, that's what the word shtuki is. Like, the way we saw the word shtuki, Rashi said, is that she shuts her son up. When he says, so-and-so is my father, she says, don't call him your father. Okay, the Yerushalmi says it a little differently than Rashi. The Yerushalmi says that she is silent. She doesn't tell us who the husband is, who the boy is. You can imagine, she must be very embarrassed. She doesn't want to say who the boyfriend was. Or she says, I came back from a bar, I was drunk, I don't even know who the boy was. Shisha sekas. Fine. Yeah, 100%. And in both of those cases, that's a shtuki. Fine. Okay. Umasha kosev rabbeinu, shafil hi omeres leploni hamamzer nivalti. When she says, leploni hamamzer nivalti, we say, we don't believe her fully. It's only a suffix. Humipnei she'ein ha'isha ne'emenes bipsul ela ha'av bilvad. As we will explain. Frek the Magen Mishnah, the question that we were just asking for the past 10 minutes. What do you mean? Af pishne emenes lahakshir, v'yanir ha'isha kolshken lifsul. If the Rambam says that, if she says the boy is a kosher, we believe her 100%. But if she says the boy is puzzle, the boy is a mamzer, then we're not really going to believe her? I don't understand that. Why is there this double status of her dibur? Do we believe her or not? And here's the answer. Let's see the two bullet points that I have here in the Magen Mishnah. The Magen Mishnah will differentiate what's qualitatively different when you are being machshir your son, or being posel your son. Listen carefully, look carefully at what the Magen Mishnah is going to answer, this, not stira, but this distinction between whether she's coming to say he's a mamzer or he's a kasher. Dila hachshir, dvar Torah ein on etzrichana. If she says that my son is, that I spent the night with a good Jewish boy, he's a kasher, my kid is a kasher, if she would have kept her mouth shut, what would we have assumed? On a Doraisa level, you know what we would have assumed? Worst comes to, again, if she kept her mouth shut, we see a pregnant girl, single pregnant girl, we don't know anything. We would automatically jump to assume that the kid's a Suffolk Mamzer, which is fine. You know why? Because on a Doraisa level, a Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael on a Doraisa level. Remember, Mamzer Vadai v'lo Mamzer Suffolk. Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Bas Yisrael. It's just midrabanan. So therefore, on a Doraisa level, if she didn't say anything, what would we assume? We'd assume that the kid should be kosher. Because midoraisa, even if the kid would be a Suffolk Mamzer, again, without her saying a word, the kid would be a Suffolk Mamzer, and Suffolk Mamzers are on a Doraisa level, kosher lava bakal. So now that she says, my kid is kosher, so weiter, the kid is kosher lava bakal. Let's look inside. Dilahakshir, Dvar Torah, on a Doraisa level, ain on a tzrichana. We don't need her, nor her testimony, nor her statements. The Hamidina, lo havi ela Suffolk Mamzer. The worst case that this could be is when we don't know who the father is that the kid is a Suffolk Mamzer. And what's the halacha on a Doraisa level? With Suffolk Mamzer min HaTorah, mutir gamer lava bekal. Right? Mamzer vadai, asr Torah, lo mamzer Suffolk. Ela derabbanim gozro aleihem. Oh, since the question should be, what is his status on a Darabonon level? Since it's only a question of a Darabonon, we will believe her for a Darabonon. He'eminuha b'shel devrayhem. Since on a Doraisa level, the kid is mutalava b'kal, it's just midrabanon we say, oh, we don't want, the Suffolk Mamzer shouldn't marry somebody, a regular Bas Yisrael, a regular Ben Yisrael. That's only a chumra Darabonon, but Darabonons will believe her entirely. Avalifsol, but if she comes and says, my son is a mamzer. Wait a second. Before she said a word, the kid was mutter bakal, because he was a Suffolk mamzer when she didn't open her mouth. Now she's opening her mouth and saying, my kid's a vade mamzer, and therefore he's aser bekal on a doraisa level. She's changing the status quo with her words. She's changing the din doraisa with her words by defining this child as a vade mamzer, who will be aser lova bekal. Avalifso, kaven de mi doraisa, before she said a word, that kid was mutu lova bekal. And would have been, if she wouldn't have said a word, aser b'mamzeres, vadois. But now that you're going to believe her, what are you causing? What are you doing by listening to this woman's claim? You're going to be mekel by allowing this woman, this child, to marry a mamzeres vadais. And in that, to be matir, your child, to marry a mamzer vadais, that leniency that we will allow you to have is a gift that's given, that Ne'amonis, that we allow you to be matir your child to a mamzer vadois, is a gift that's given, that Ne'amonis is a gift that's given, only v'lo nasna Torah Ne'amonis ela la'av. As we'll see in the next, in the pink in a moment, the Kaimelet, we have a pasuk, Pasuk Kitseitse, talks about a father giving over his nachla to his children. And the Torah says, v'yob yom hanchilo es banaves asher ye'alo. You're not allowed to play games and switch the second son with the Bechor with the second son. You can't choose who the Bechor will be. Ki es ha-Bechor ben hasnu'a yakir. You have to identify the Bechor to give him double. We learn from the word yakir that a father has ne'amonis on a doraisa level to identify that word yakir. The father is going to identify his son, the Bechor. That means the father is given the right to identify his son, as far as the son's status. The mother is not given the right to identify the son's status. We see from this pasuk that who has the right to identify his son's status? Only the father, not the mother. So let's see what the Magen Mishnah is now saying. I'm going to say it outside first, then we'll look back inside again, see it again, because it's a very complicated, there's a little more sophisticated and nuanced shot that he's giving. What we have to know is that on a d'oraisa level, if you're a Suffolk Mamzer, you're Mutter Nabas Yisrael. If you're a Suffolk Mamzer, you can't marry Mamzer Vadai. Again, a Suffolk Mamzer, the Torah says Mamzer Vadai, velo Mamzer Suffolk. So a Suffolk Mamzer has a halacha of a Ben Nabas Yisrael. A Suffolk Mamzer has a din of a Ben Nabas Yisrael, because the Torah, when the Torah says Vadai, when the Torah asks a Mamzer, it only asks a Vadai Mamzer, a Mamzer Vadai. But a Suffolk Mamzer is the same halacha as a Bas Yisrael. On a Doraisa level, a Suffolk Mamzer can marry you and me. A Suffolk Mamzer can marry a regular Ben Yisrael and Bas Yisrael, because the Torah only asked Mamzer Vadai, velo Mamzer Suffolk. If a woman would get up and say, my child is a Mamzer, what the woman is doing is changing the status quo. Midoraisa, if she would have kept her mouth shut, the child would be, at worst, would be a Suffolk Mamzer. What's the din of a Suffolk Mamzer? Like anybody else, like a Yisrael. By her saying the Boel is a Mamzer, my kid is there for a Mamzer, what is she doing? She's being Mekel against the status quo. The status quo would say this kid is Suffolk Mamzer like a regular Yisrael. And she's saying that my kid is a Mamzer and therefore allowed to marry a Mamzeres. She's being Mekel by saying that if she wouldn't have said anything, this kid could marry anyone he wants. Right? To marry Yisrael. By her saying, again, let me think this through. If she doesn't say anything, we consider the kid to be a Suffolk Mamzer, and Mutter be Yisrael, and Osir be Mamzeres Vadai. And now that she says, now that she gets up and says, my son is the Boel is a Mamzer, my kid's a Mamzer, Vadai, so she's making her more chomer that the kid can't marry a Yisrael, and more mekel that he could marry a Mamzer Vadai. It has a chomer and a kula. But what is she doing with her statement? She is changing the status quo on a Doraisa level. Midoraisa, the kid was considered what? Before she said anything, before she said anything when she was just pregnant, and we assume the kid was a suffering mamzer, suffering mamzer is like Israel. When she gets up and says, my kid's a mamzer, she's changing the status of this child on a Doraisa level. Who has the right to change, to identify the status of a child on a Doraisa level? I just showed you in pink that the father has the right to do yakir, to identify a child. A woman doesn't necessarily have the right to identify the status of a child. So therefore, let's put this all together. The Magen Mishnah, this is the Magen Mishnah, he's telling us, what's the difference? How come when it comes to saying my child is kosher, we'll believe her? But saying my child is pasul, we don't believe her. One second, please. Answers the Magen Mishnah that when you try to be without her words, first look at the situation without her words. Without any of her words, we consider this kid to be a Safek Mamzer. If the kid is a Safek Mamzer, he's mutter. He's like a regular Ben Yisrael. So what does she now get up and say? My kid is kosher. My kid is a good Ben Yisrael. That's what your kid was considered before you got up and said anything. So we'll listen to her. But if before she got up and said anything, we consider the kid a Safek Mamzer, who's like a regular Yisrael, and now she gets up and says, my kid is a Vadei Mamzer and not kosher Yisrael, she's changing what the Torah's status quo halacha should be on a Doraisa level. So she's switching something. There, we can't believe her. We're going to say, no, let's leave it. You don't have an emunah to change this kid's status on a Doraisa level from what the Torah would have thought without your words. That's a gift that's given. That's a right that's given only to the father, not to you, the mother. Let's see this inside, please. Incredible chiluk that the Magen Mishnah is saying. To say my son is kasher, before she said anything, we see a girl is pregnant. At worst, you know, the kid will have a din of a suffik mamzer. She gets up at suffik mamzer and hatar mutter gamer lava bekal. Ella, it's all a drabbanan that they're not supposed to marry a suffik mamzer. They're not supposed to marry midirabbanan regular Jews, and since she's identifying that this kid is a kasher, that's only and therefore could marry regular Jews. That's only a nafka mina, midrabanan. So therefore, we'll believe her. Aval, and this is where we were trying to see it through. Aval, if so, when she comes and says, my boel is a mamzer, my boyfriend was a mamzer, my kid is now a mamzer, before she opened her mouth, the kid was a suffik mamzer. And therefore, mutu bekal before she opened her mouth. Aval, if so, came to Mraisa. Before she opened her mouth, mutter lava bekal, va'asur b'mamzer es v'dais. Now that she opens her mouth, v'im hoyu ma'aminim osa, u'matir osa b'mamzer es v'dais, hoyu mekilim b'shal Torah. You're changing the Torah law based on her statement. Until now, before she opened her mouth, this kid was asur b'mamzer es. Now the Torah law, you say my kid is a mamzer, you're mutter b'mamzer es? She with her mouth is going to be matir this child to a mamzer? Mamzer es v'dai? Lonas Torah ne'emanus el la'av. The Kaimelon, we hold that Yakir is Yakir el-Achirim, is a gift only to the father. And that's how the Magen Mishnah explains the difference between being machshir your son and passing your son, calling your son a mamzer. Again, just to review this. If you say that your kid is kosher, since on a d'oraisa level, your kid, even before you opened your mouth, your kid was a suffik mamzer who's kosher anyway, mi d'oraisa, you're not changing the status on a Doraisa level. So we'll believe you. However, if you say your kid is a mamzer, what was your kid before you opened your mouth? A suffik mamzer who's like a regular Yisrael, midoraisa. And now you're saying they're a vadei mamzer? You're changing their din doraisa. That, we're not going to believe you. And that's the reason why the Rambam said that a woman would be believed to be machshir her child, but would not be believed to make her son a mamzer. So he's not saying that. So, right. So he's not saying that. He's not saying that. He's going with the